Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Undivided with Luke and Dina. Hey, babe.
Hi, babe.
How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
In my mind, I literally felt like a game show, like calling people down for The Price is Right or
you
something.
You kind of sounded like it.
Just, I kind of did.
Just a little bit. I was like, that's not his normal cadence.
No.
It's not your normal cadence.
No.
Yeah, that's a good way of saying it, because I was like, doot, 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 and I was like, oh, okay. Here we go. With Luke and Dina.
Yep.
I was ready for you to snap and point and do the...
I thought about it.
The
finger guns.
The finger guns.
Yep.
Pew, pew. You know, all the things. It's like, hey. Like, hey. What are we doing? It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It is.
How are we doing?
We're doing well.
You have an unscheduled... semi-day off today?
Yes, I do.
So this is nice.
This is nice.
Like, all four of us are home today.
Yes.
And it feels really good in the house.
Yes.
Just, I like when you're home. I miss when you're not here all the time.
Agreed.
Like, this whole going into the office full-time situation, like...
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
But it's fine. Because I feel more productive. I feel like I do more. I get to see your face. Our little boy gets excited. Even our girl, it's like everybody, it just feels different. And it's so funny because it's like, here's Sebastian sitting in the chair. Was it last week or so? And he's just laying, it was in your chair. He's like laying in his chair. And he's like, I just miss dad, mom. Why can't he just be home, mom? And I said, buddy, it's because it's summer. It's summer. You're home.
Yeah.
He's been like, because you went back to work into the office
in February.
Yeah. So it's like, you've been gone.
Yeah.
And
I
am the only one that has recognized the fact that the house gets very, very quiet. Because like, Gabri's got her pretty much full-time situation gig between her new job that she's loving and in her class that she's taking. And so it's
and loving.
Like, and loving. She really is loving that, isn't
she? Really
it? It's
is,
so
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
Just life is good right now.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because we just came back from family reunion.
Yep.
And all four of us went and we got to shoot off fireworks and we've got new family member. And her family, because my brother got remarried and his wife came over with her daughter, our now niece, and her boyfriend. And they've never shot off fireworks before.
Yeah.
And,
which was amazing.
Which is amazing because she's going to be 50. Is that what my understanding?
Yep.
So I'm a little older than she is. So we're right about that age.
Mm-hmm.
And then her daughter is our daughter's age or just turned our daughter's age.
Yeah.
She just turned 20.
Yeah.
Anyway, doesn't matter. But it's... That in itself, Gabri's giddy because she now has a cousin her age. But then they are walking into a space and I'm thinking, they've never done fireworks before. And I'm thinking, oh, hold on to your pants, girl, because my brother's 4th of July is their jam. They love to shoot off fireworks and do really dumb things. They throw fireworks at each other, firecrackers. They throw firecrackers, and then one of them throws it while the other one tries to hit it with a baseball bat. And our son participated this year.
Yep.
And he actually hit some.
He did.
He enjoyed it. I'm thinking.
I warned him ahead of time because he started throwing firecrackers, like lighting them and throwing them, not towards people, but I was like, hey, when you throw it, hold it loosely. So, and just with your fingertips, so if it explodes in your hand, it doesn't blow off a finger.
And one of them did.
Yeah. He came up to me. He was super proud.
Yeah.
Dad, check it out. I'm like, all right, good job.
And then our daughter, listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
She's adventurous.
You know, you and I cannot say one doggone thing. We can.
I mean,
because
we can.
We're parents, and we did.
Yes.
But so her and another sweet family friend, I would consider him like nephew kind of space. But his mom and dad, absolutely no blood related with us, but they're family. And so he, parents didn't get to make it, but he got to make it. He was already in the area and he came and he spent time with us. Him and Gabriel decide that they're going to have a Roman candle war and shoot each other.
Not even a war. It was just launching at each other.
They were launching these things at each other. Hit our daughter right above her collarbone.
Yep.
And he felt so incredibly bad. And he lit another Roman candle and said, hit me. And so all I can think in my mind is, you know, thank you, Jesus. Nobody shot anybody in the face, in the eye.
Yes.
Nobody's hair caught on fire. No houses around us got burnt because people were shooting them in that direction. It was a lot of, we had to restore order into the chaos that was starting to happen. Because it was like, I'm yelling across the yard. I'm going to ground you both if you continue to do this. And and everybody kind of just got back to...
Because it wasn't just like a yard. It's your...
Yeah, she lives on a couple of acres.
It's like, yeah, it's like 2-3 acres. Yeah. So you're yelling across the acreage.
I am. And they heard me. Who's soft-spoken, everybody heard me at that point. And
because it was funny because it was like a few other there were like two groups of people setting off fireworks.
Yeah. And then like, you had your own little show in the back.
Yeah. And like not paying it. We're paying enough attention to each other to know
where everybody was.
Yeah. But not like what. So it's like we had no idea they were launching fireworks at each other. And it's like, oh, OK.
Yeah. Because you're not even maybe, I don't know how many, 25 feet or so from our daughter.
Yeah.
So it's like you're close enough, but far enough.
Yeah.
Uncle Bobby saw this go down and he almost ripped sweet. I'll name the names Ryan, a new one. And Gabriel immediately went into his defense and said, no, Uncle Bobby, I'm fine. I basically was the one that nobody's fessing up to who started this.
Yeah.
They both have just decided that they both agreed. They were walking into this situation, both privy to the potential consequences, and they were good with it.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you have 20-year-olds, because they're both 20. They're literally the exact same age on the exact same day.
Yes.
All of it. And
what could go wrong?
Jesus, it's fine. It's fine. This is why we pray, people. This is why we pray. This is why we call down the angels of heaven to come and circle our children and keep them safe from their dumb ideas.
Yes.
It's fine. So that's what we got to do. And I don't know what got us caught up in that conversation, except that we're just telling you guys what's happening. And
just talking.
Life is life, and it's good. That was it. It was just good. It's just life is good. We're walking into new spaces and places where I am going to be full-time sub for Sebastian's.
For at least the first couple few months of the school year.
Yeah.
In the fall.
Yeah, I get to be a librarian, so I get to do that. So I'm working on getting all of my training up to speed. And then we're reading a book together that has been given to us for some homework to do. And then
More details will be coming forth in September-ish.
In September-ish, and then
has nothing to do with us. We're just
we've been invited to the table.
We've been asked to read and give thoughts.
Yeah, which is a really neat thing. And then we're doing our marriage workshop. Where we just finished up week one. About to do.
So it's like part two.
It's
almost like sessions 5 through 8.
Yes.
That we're
doing. Yeah. And then we've got a new family that are just now jumping in. We've got another family that came through the first 4 with us. It's good. Yeah. It's good. Life is good.
Some people will be rejoining. Some people won't.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But I think what we're learning is how to pivot, how to adjust, how to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us with whoever's in front of us.
Yeah.
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 And have him direct our conversations. Because even though last night we had a loose idea, a loose plan.
Yeah.
It kind of turned for just a second, but long enough to kind of just bring it right back to where it was. And it helped tie in with what it was that we were talking about. And I thought it was really beautifully done. And so I was like, you know how sometimes like I get diarrhea of the mouth and you sweetly nudge me to remind me to get back on track.
Yes.
Like last night, part of me is going, do I nudge you? And I'm like, actually, no. I think that this is something that's incredibly important for everybody to hear.
Yeah.
And it was really good. It was just really good. Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like, in addition to talking about marriage stuff, it was like there was this couple that we really didn't know. And so because it was like small enough group, because it was just a couple, like two couples, a couple couples.
They've only been at our church for maybe a few months.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe a little longer. Yeah, regardless. But I mean, the fact that it was only two couples and then it was...
Well, two and a half couples. Yeah.
But it was like this new couple, it's like they don't know us. So it's like, so we took, you know, 15, 20 minutes.
The husband asked you straight up.
Yeah. And just kind of told our story.
Yeah.
And not just like our story, but like, especially the, like my story, because I was like, yeah, I was Catholic, then I was a witch, then I'm Christian.
And yeah.
It's like, wait, what?
Because he and his wife both were either in Catholicism or Lutheran. Mm-hmm. And which is a branch.
Yeah.
And so... his curiosity, I'll fix that for you because I see you looking at it. His curiosity is like, how do you, because he asked you directly, he goes,
how'd that happen?
Like, what kind of leap did that take? And I think you were very respectful because you were still respectful to that faith and respectful to that, but very honest of like, you know.
Yeah.
Itchy. I can't figure out why I'm itchy. Anyway,
it's like every now and then I do. It's like when I, every now and then when I'm explaining my story of how I went from this to that or that to this, and or even sometimes now where it's like, okay, well I'm here and I know that I feel like I need to go to the next step.
Yeah.
And I always hear a quote from a movie. Okay, now what?
Now what? I mean, that's it, right? Just kind of like, now what?
Yeah.
So. Our subject today is spurred from that conversation last night.
Yeah.
Because we were talking and we were discussing, and I know that we've said this on the podcast before, but it was like on our drive home, you looked at me and you said, I don't think we've ever kind of really gone into this part of the vein of it before. And it was, do you look married, right? So we've talked about this before.
Yeah, we have a whole episode.
We have a whole episode of Do You Look Married? And the couple, actually both couples, it was really sweet, are two and a half. Okay, we're not forgetting you, Tracy. We know you were in the room. and we say this because we know she's faithful about listening to us. But the two in particular, you could see kind of that they were, the one couple was really, really puzzled. The second couple came up with a really great idea. And then our sweet Tracy had a really sweet, like, way she said it too.
Yeah.
And they're looking at us like holding hands. What is it? And it's like, yeah, physically you could be holding hands, but you could physically be in this space with this person, but you could be very, very far away.
Yeah.
And when I had said, I said, listen to me, I give you guys full permission to look at me Sunday morning at church, and you're going to see where Luke will be probably on one side of the room. There's potential that I might be on the other, but you will know that that man belongs to me and I belong to him. There is absolutely no doubt in anybody's mind that we are married. And that basis came from a statement that our daughter had said once upon a time, and this is probably now a couple of years, don't you think?
Probably at least, I mean, at least a year.
Yeah, and she said, you know, we'll say, well, yeah, this family or this couple at church, whatever, they, you know, they're married, and she literally goes, really? They don't look married.
Yeah.
And I was like, what does that even mean? And we're polling the audience. We're calling her yesterday before our session and saying, can you give us some ideas? She still didn't do it. But
no, yeah.
But what
that's
I...
That's okay.
And that's okay. But what came to me was this. I said, we need to be looking at each other in such a manner that when I look at my husband, I call it goo-eyes, not so much like it's like doe-eye, goo-eye, but goo-eye. And when what I mean by this, and I text and I put this in our little message right underneath what we're going to talk about, goo-eyes, which means I'm looking at you with eyes of appreciation, adoration, honor, respect, in awe of you, not just in love with you.
Yeah.
And when you when you're looking at your person in that kind of manner, you are engaged in a space in your spirits, your hearts, your everything is starting to connect, where before it's just like, because you could be physical all day long and still not connect. And you could not touch each other at all and be completely engaged in very much in each other's space. I also like how our other couple, he said, it's like you're, what did he say? Like you're,
it's like in your orbits.
You're in each
other. Like how a moon will circle a planet.
Yeah. It's like you're in each other's orbits. You may not be completely right there in the same space, but you're orbiting around each other.
Yeah.
And just, you're in sync.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like, I even, you know, said to you, it's like when we go somewhere where it's like, you know, more people or it's a situation where you're more comfortable, because there's a lot of situations where you're more comfortable with being the extrovert of us.
Yes.
And so at times like that, it's like, I'll hover.
Yes. Yes. You know? You orbit.
I do orbit.
Because hover sounds bad.
Yeah.
I like orbit. Yeah. I like orbiting because it is. It's like, I even turned, I was like, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I mean, which doesn't surprise me because this guy writes music, but still it's just, you just kind of go, okay, that's a beautiful way of painting that picture. I like that.
Yeah.
So, what are we talking about today?
So today it was spurred from a conversation after we had our talk.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, in the Bible, they always talk about how God is a jealous God.
Right.
You know, but I know that a lot of times with people, that has like a negative connotation.
Correct.
You know, people like, oh, jealous. Oh, you really want to say that about God.
Right.
You know, but it's like, but I've heard it talked about before, and I know we've kind of talked about some things about, you know, God versus his people, Christ versus his church, not versus, just, you know, God and his people, Christ and the church, a husband and a wife. You know, what does that relationship look like? You know, because ultimately God and his people, Christ and the church, is the mirror, is the ideal for how husbands and wives should act towards each other.
Right.
And so it was this concept of jealousy versus possessive.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, is it jealousy? Is it possessiveness? Is it envious? You know, like what are these words? You know, because again, the Bible says that God is a jealous God.
Right.
You know, I want to say, you know, even in like Exodus, you know, and, you know, where it talks about God is jealous. But then in like, I think it was Galatians, it talks about how jealousy is a work of the flesh.
Okay.
And so it's like, okay, God is jealous, God is good, but fleshly jealousy is not good, and
right,
is bad and is sinful, and
right,
we need to avoid it. So it's this concept of, you know, jealousy versus possessiveness, of God is jealous of his people, Christ is jealous of the church,
mm-hmm,
spouses should be jealous for each other.
Yes, yes. Because it's like, here's Exodus 20, where, again, he's talking about being a jealous God. It's in here, it says, no carved gods of any size, shape, or form, or anything whatsoever, whether of things that fly or walk or swim, don't bow down to them and don't serve them, because I am God, your God, and I am a most jealous God. And it's like, when I read that, yes, it's talking about like the no graven images, things of that nature. But when we put it into, when we put it into perspective of the marriages, it's, you're not going to bring somebody else into this marriage. Like, a lot of times people will go, well, duh, like extramarital affairs, adultery, fornication, things of that nature. Okay, yeah, duh. Okay, is your gaming in front of your spouse? Is your job, whatever, right? Fill in the blank. The porn, all of the things, like the things that we've talked about before.
Yeah.
It's okay to look at each other and say, I need your time.
Yeah.
I'm jealous of you. Like, no, that's that belongs to, they belong to me. And that was what was so cute, because you said, babe, like you said, there was like this inflection in your voice when you said it, that made you just go, ooh.
Well, because a little back up a little bit.
Yes.
Because we were talking about how, you know, with the whole, do you look married?
Yeah.
And quick side note, episode 48.
Okay.
Is when we actually did Do I Look Married?
Yes. Wow, that's been a second.
It has been a second, because this is episode 129.
Shut up.
Yeah. So.
Go us. All right.
But we were talking about, you know, like do I Look Married? It's like, how do you talk about your spouse?
Correct.
Like at work and stuff like that? Because I've had coworkers that are like, I can tell that you love your wife just because of how you talk about her.
And they've never met, except once.
Sort of, briefly.
And it was literally across a parking lot.
Yeah.
Sincerely.
You know, but it was like, I said, you know, like when you talk about your wife, it's like, is it my wife or is it the wife?
Right.
You know, and then when you were talking about, you know, I challenge people to look at us on Sunday and you were like, you know, that's my husband. And I did. I was like, there was something when you said my husband. It was like something in your voice shifted just enough.
Yeah.
I mean, it was good. It was a very good shift. It was a good
jealousy.
Yeah.
Like, I double dog dare you to try to get between me and him, and I will climb you like a spider monkey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like a very happy, very proud.
Yes. That's my husband.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You liked that.
I did like that. I did. But it was. And so that's what kind of spurred this.
Yes.
You know, because it's like I was looking up some stuff and it's like God's jealousy is presented as a righteous attribute. You know, it's not motivated by insecurity or fear. It is solely driven by love and a desire to protect his relationship with his people.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're jealous of that, you know, like I hear people talk about, you know, they want to protect their peace.
Right.
And, you know, I've heard pluses and minuses on that. You know, that's not for this podcast.
Correct.
You know, but again, it's, you know, what's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know what benefits have come, you know, like we talk about it every now and then when we talk about our courtship and when we got together, it's like, we know what God has restored in us.
Yes.
So we're going to do everything we can to protect that.
Yes.
You know, we are very jealous of the goodness and the blessings that God has poured into our lives. And we're not just going to just let it go wherever.
Right.
You know, you're going to be very protective of that.
Yes.
You know, not mean about it.
No.
Not possessive about it. You want to share it. You want to tell people about it.
Yes.
But you don't, you want to do what you can to keep it and hold on to that.
I think it's one of those things because this, what came to my mind immediately was that the fact that we've even had people say, can I send my people to you? Because your house is secure and it's safe and
there's a peace.
There's a peace that comes here that my people need.
Yeah.
And us protecting the peace, it's like there will be times where people will be able to come and be in that space with us. We've had people come and live with us before and be in that space with us. It also has come with some very, very distinct and intentional boundaries.
Yes.
Some things that you stand back and you say, the moment that you stop living within these boundaries, you have to go. And it's not because I do not love you. It's because I do love you.
Yeah.
And I, like what you said with the military, it's not because I hate you, but because I love the people behind me that much more. They are the ones that I am accountable for.
Yeah.
And I need to, when I hear people say, guard your peace, That's what I see.
Yeah.
What I think has been mishandled and misused is when people say, I'm guarding my peace, and I'm no, you're not wanting to deal with the root of that problem.
You're not guarding your peace. You're hiding from the world.
You're hiding from the world. And it's like, and you and I, when we say we're guarding our peace, here, I want to even teach you how to do this. Number one, the reason why our house is so safe and secure and stuff, when we screw up, we say, I'm sorry. When we're constantly praying and speaking life over to each other and over our children, that is a non-negotiable. These are things that are constant. There are certain things that are allowed and not allowed in our home. Yeah. It's just that simple. I don't care how grown you think you are.
Yeah.
I am 50. I'm the oldest one in the room.
You are.
And I have to live. I get to live. But I live in the parameters of the things that I am saying, that you and I are saying need to be done.
Yeah.
If we are saying we put ourselves in these own in our own boundaries, then why on earth would we let somebody else come in and try to tear those fortified, God-given walls down?
Yeah.
That's not safe.
Yeah.
And that's how we as married couples should be addressing our marriages, our families. We're going to kind of move families out of the equation for just a second, but like for our marriages, we should be talking to each other like this. Yeah. We should be speaking in such a manner to where it's like, if last night at the workshop, I looked at the group and I said, I double dog dare any one of you to start bashing your spouse in front of me, and you will watch me get hotter than a hornet right there on the spot. Yeah. I will shut you down. I will embarrass you in front of God and everybody because I will say, oh, well, you're the idiot that married them.
Yep.
Interesting. Right? Like, you don't do certain things. And for our culture, when you're out in the world, like, it infuriates me because people are like, well, you know, that's what the world does. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not what God does. That's not what the church should be doing. And we're called to not blend. We're called to not look like everybody else around us.
Yeah.
And do you want to see a shift? The people that have responded to you and said, you really love your wife.
Yeah.
We're not even sure where they are with God.
Right.
They may or may not have a relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
But the fact is that they recognize when they see something good.
Yeah.
And they're like, to the point where I'm petty enough to say, I'm going to sit here and kiss my wife like you kissed your wife, because that's what we need. And I'm like, that's what we should be doing.
Yeah.
There should be such goodness and such just that part of it coming out of us. People should be seeing that in such a manner that it's shifting.
Yeah.
It's shifting even somebody that doesn't even recognize the reason, and it's because of Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah.
Man, just be a good human being. Be a good freaking human being.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it. Just be kind.
Yeah.
Be gentle. Be loving. Watch your tone of voice with your spouse. Like, these aren't rocket science things.
They shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be, but yet here we are.
Yeah.
Even people that we've encountered that have been in the church for however long, we tell them these things, and they look at us like we're giving them this revelation knowledge, and I'm going, and it hurts my heart.
Yeah.
Because we understand that you can be in church, you can go to church, you could be raised in church, but if you haven't been given the example.
Yeah.
I was raised in that household. That wasn't an example in my world. And then I married somebody the first time. That was not an example.
Yeah. And I think also it's, you know, to kind of not just you weren't given the example, but like, I know the way I was raised, mm-hmm. You know, I'll with a smile on my face, pick on the Catholics.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't told this. We weren't told the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, we were given edited stories, you know, which again is good, because it teaches us the lessons of the Bible. It teaches us, you know, we heard the main stories, you know, but we weren't encouraged to read the Bible and study on our own because that's what the priest was for. The priest was there to study, you know, and let us know what was the right path. You know, again, all the things. You know, so it was just, if you don't know that that's the truth, if you don't know that that's what the word says,
you don't know better, you don't do better.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
You know, and even for the people that do know better, the really cool thing about God is he gave us free choice.
Yeah.
So even if we know better, we can choose to not do better.
You are right.
You know?
You're right.
And it gets so frustrating. It's like, it'd be so easy to just follow the rules. No, you don't want to follow. Okay, cool. Sweet. Yeah. See ya.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's your flesh.
Yeah.
It's your flesh that you're combating. It's that natural sinful nature that every one of us has. And it's, I have, in my lifetime, I have maybe met two people that did not know God, did not go to church, did not have a relationship with God whatsoever. And they were genuinely some of the kindest people I have ever met.
Yeah.
So I know it exists.
Yeah.
But it's rare.
Yeah.
Because usually your flesh kind of gets into a space. If you were not raised by somebody not necessarily knowing just even a moral compass of being gentle and kind.
Yeah.
The golden rule.
Yeah.
You know, do unto others as you would want them to be, want them to do to you. Even people in the world know that rule.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few that live by that.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, though, it's like, but here's God saying, but I want to get into the details. I don't want to just be this broad stroke of stuff. I want to get into the details. I want to show you what it means to cover. Like even last night when we were talking about covering a multitude of sins, right? Love covers.
Yeah.
Love covers. And as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like, Father, thank you, because that's something I've been struggling with. Like, love covers a multitude of sins. And it was like, no, expound on it. Love covers your past. It doesn't bring your past into the future.
Yeah.
You deal with the things that need to be dealt with so that way it doesn't repeat itself.
Yeah.
You deal with the things that need to be done, but then you cover it. You cover it so that way it's not seen again, and you don't use it as ammunition to cause harm to somebody else.
You cover it and you leave it.
You cover it and you leave it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it is. I mean, we've run into several couples and it's happened to us and we've done it in the past, not to each other, but you know, we didn't always live the best.
No.
But we've done that. You know, we've seen other couples that's what they do. It's like, hey, remember 2 years ago when you did this?
Oh my God.
You know, it's like, but you forgave me.
Stop.
And it's like, well, but you still did it.
That was my first marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, If the patterns are continuing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's like,
and
hey,
that's why you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, again, it's my ex-wife, you know, she cheated on me. I forgave her.
Yeah.
She cheated on me again. Okay. You're out.
Yeah, right. You
get two strikes.
Your ball game is two.
You get two strikes.
Or not three.
But then I found out she apparently had more than two strikes.
Babe.
Yeah. So, yeah, I found out after she left and after,
I see you fidgeting hard.
I am fidgeting. I've been fidgeting. But I'm getting more. But yeah, I found out that it had gone a lot deeper than I even imagined.
Yeah.
So.
Healing, Father.
Yes.
Find her where she is and just do what they need to do.
Yeah.
For both of them.
Yes.
There we go. That's fine. You guys just walk through something. It's fine.
Yeah.
but that's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's bury it and leave it, you know, because again, I have not lived perfect life. You have not lived a perfect life. And if I tried to say, well, before you met me, when you did all this, you know, let me hold you back to that.
Or even if something was done that you and I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's because we're going to have a lot of listeners that go, oh man, guys, like we're a hopeless cause. And we'll say, no, you're not. You're really not. The only time that you're a hopeless cause is when you just say, I quit.
Yeah.
I quit.
Yeah.
Or the rare, I will give the absolute rare the rare occasion that God says it's time to go.
Yeah.
And he does do that.
Yeah.
But I do not, with everything in me, believe that it's as often and frequent as people think.
No.
Anyway, but back to the jealousy of our God, what that looks like.
Yeah.
Because it is, it can be absolutely a very icky thing, or it could be a good solid thing. Because did you read possession or controlling yet? Because what we had talked about was talking about jealous, being jealous God, where we need to have that, like, that jealousy towards our spouse, not jealous of our spouse, but this is my gift that God has entrusted me with, and I will protect it at all cost, like that kind of jealousy, versus possessiveness and controlling.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have that pulled up, but
okay.
I mean, being possessive, it's a very,
very negative.
It's a very negative. It's a very, this is mine and I'm not going to share it. Yeah.
Ew.
In the toxic relationship world, you know, being possessive, being controlling is the, I'm going to tell you where and when you can go somewhere. I'm going to tell you who you can or cannot hang out with. I'm going to tell you sometimes what you can and cannot consume.
Or where.
Or when you should go to the gym. Or, you know, it's like all these bad things. It's
you
like,
see me
it's,
cringing.
I know. I'm internally cringing saying these. It's like, man, this just feels gross.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the possessive, that's the controlling, that's the, I don't want you to go talk to your family unless I'm there so I can have a say in what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want you to go hang out with your friends unless I approve it. And when you do go out, here's the timeline you're allowed and here's where you're allowed to go.
And you have to constantly keep checking in and stuff.
You know,
which we check in with each other.
We do check in, but it's out of love.
Out of love, out of courtesy, out of care.
It's not, oh my gosh, I have to check in or else.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you feel that, that's a red flag.
That's a red flag.
You know, but if it's I want to let them know where I'm at. I want to let them know that I'm safe.
Yeah.
It's that's the good one.
Yeah.
You know,
I'll even out loud, like when we go get nails done or things of that nature, right? Whether it's with Gabri, which is a beautiful thing for her to see.
Yeah.
Or if it's I'm with Heather, Marsha, one of the girls, right? Tracy. And I'll go, oh, shoot. Like, I'll say it out loud and they like, let me text Luke really quick to let him know I'm safe.
Yeah.
And it's not a fear. It's I need to make sure that you can see me on the phone. Again, we have these things that are in place with our children, with each other. And a lot of times people go, gosh, like that sounds really possessive.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the heart of it.
It's
I care enough to make sure that you're safe and to know where you are and to know that you're okay.
I mean, again, I think I kind of heard it once. You know, God who knows everything, God who sees everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yes.
Shortly after Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit.
Come on, babe.
What is the first thing God says?
Where are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not what did you do?
Yeah.
Not where, how did you mess up? Not in an anger.
Yeah.
But where are you?
Where are you?
You know, because they had been living in the glory.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it was like their glory had left him.
Yeah.
And it was like, where are you?
Where are you? What happened to your heart?
Yeah.
That's such a beautiful phrase. Where are you?
Yeah.
Not out of, like you said, not out of condemnation, but out of love.
Yeah.
Out of, I can't seem to feel you anymore. I can't seem to see you anymore. You know, again, he sees them, but it's like something shifted, something changed.
Yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
I.e. what happened?
Yeah.
How do we fix this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, because again, he's always looking out for his people.
Yeah.
You know, it's God always looking out for his people. Christ always looking out for his church. You know, husbands and wives always looking out for each other. You know, parents looking out for their kids.
Right.
You know, if you know, Sebastian, firework blowing up in his hand, Gabri getting hit with a Roman candle.
We sound like, you know, really neglectful parents.
They're adventurous.
Sorry, guys. Welcome to my side of the family.
You know, but it's like, you know, when something happened, or even, you know, when we look at them and, you know, hey, I'm going to go do this. Okay, go be careful.
Yeah.
You know,
make
like
wise decisions.
Yeah. You know, looking at Sebastian when it's like, I know he's going to throw firecrackers with his new friend that he just met today.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, hey, just here's how you can be safe.
Right.
You know, just hold them loosely so they don't, you know, when they explode in your hand.
It doesn't take off a fingernail.
I can't count how many fireworks I had explode in my hand or firecrackers. But, you know, again, so it's like, here's, I know you have free choice. I know you're going to do this. I know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
But hey, I love you. I want you to be safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I want to do these adventures with you.
Yeah.
I want you to explore all these new things. And I want to watch your face light up when you are in awe of whatever it is that either we have helped create or whatever it is that God has done, right? And it's like, I think of Disney, you know, how we all went. You'd been there so many times.
Yeah.
And you weren't even looking at the things around anymore. No. You were watching our faces as we were looking at the things around in the awe and the wonder. And it's like, that's who our God is. He's like, I have gifted you with this amazing person, this gift.
Yeah.
I have gifted you with this blessing. I've gifted you with this home, with these things, with this stuff. I don't want it to take precedence or replace me, though.
I
want you to enjoy the fruit of the labor and the things that I've entrusted you to steward, but I don't ever want it to separate me from you, because when that starts happening, just like with our children, he's gonna go, okay, and we're gonna start seeing like either things getting moved out of the way, or there becomes a disconnect, and then we will hear our spouses look at us and say, where are you?
I
can't feel you anymore.
Or even before the disconnect.
Yeah.
The distance.
The distance, yeah.
You know, it's the
slow
separation.
Breakup almost. Yeah.
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 You know, yeah, it is. It's that distance that's created.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for couples that have been through the struggles, that have been through the obstacles and the hard times and the dry times and the lean times. It's like you can feel when that distance starts to creep in.
Yeah.
You know, you might not always be aware of it at the time, but like when you get through it and you come back together, it's like, there was distance between us. There was just enough distance between us.
I would say some of the flags. Okay. Cause I know that, everybody's going to be like, okay, so what do we do about that?
Yeah.
So some of the flags I would think are when you start nitpicking each other, when you start, if one spouse in particularly feels out of control about situations or scenarios, they start nitpicking everybody else around them.
Yeah.
I would also say, like, all of a sudden, if you or your spouse are no longer like, I am generally the first person you come to.
Yeah.
When you walk into the house.
Yeah.
You will come find me and kiss me.
I will dodge the dog and the kids.
And the dog and the kids. And you will find me and you will kiss me. We'll look each other in the eyes and say, hi.
Yeah.
How are you? And then we'll continue to move on with whatever we need to do, or that gives us a chance to whatever, but it's that reconnect.
Yeah.
If you find yourself not reconnecting, if you find yourself being short, I think I said that already, but short is in multiple ways. Like you can't seem to put your phone down long enough to have face-to-face conversation.
Yeah.
Whether it's, and it's not just your spouse, but with your children.
Yeah.
Just the people that you're supposed to be engaging with, you can't put that device down enough. We say it with our children all the time. Can you put that down so I have your full attention, please? You know, We as spouses, we need to do that for one another. If you have a regular date time, or we got the sexy time, if you have a regular situation and then you see all of a sudden that there's been time that has lapsed,
yeah,
and you haven't had that skin to skin, you haven't had that eye to eye, heart to heart space, you might want to readjust some stuff.
Yeah.
If you're too tired to do certain things, you might want to figure out what's going on. Do we understand that there is life? Do we understand that things are happening? Again, we have said this over and over and over in other episodes. That being said, we also always say, come back together as fast as you can.
Yeah.
You know, recognize it, understand it. If you have to freaking put it in your calendar.
Yeah.
This is the night that I get to have sex with my spouse.
Yeah.
Like, start, prepare, do what you got to do. If you write everything else down, you need to make sure that your relationship with the person that you committed your whole being to is priority uno.
Yes. Yeah. That's true.
And it's like, take those moments, figure out those times. Even when you do communicate, just, you keep saying it, and I know that we keep saying it, but that's, I want it to be very, very concrete. How is your tone?
Yeah.
Do your eyes get gooey when you see your person? Do they feel like they are a priority?
Yeah.
Or do they feel like they're a burden?
And I think also something I'm going to kind of add on, because I don't think I've really touched on this. I'll do my best to make this quick. But it just kind of like hit me, you know, when you're saying, you know, come back together and stuff like that. And, you know, when you do feel that distance creeping in and all that, I think part of being jealous for your spouse, and maybe that's the difference. Maybe that's the big difference. Being jealous for versus being jealous of.
I love that. That one little word.
It is. It's sometimes it's
that
little word.
The wife versus my wife.
My wife, yeah.
Yes.
You know, but I think being jealous for, it's where you will aggressively protect.
I love that.
You know, not just, you know, like, oh, we're out and there's bad guys and the enemy is prowling, you know, so I'm gonna protect and I'm gonna be the defender and stuff like that. But it's like, are you acting like that about your relationship?
I love
that. Are you acting like that about your marriage? You know, are you aggressively protecting? Are you constantly scanning for threats to your marriage?
Come on,
to
babe.
Your relationship.
Come
you
on.
Know, are you doing that? You know, because again, I think that's how God is with his people. I think that's how Christ is with his church.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not the people or the church listen or appreciate it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Unfortunately. But it is. It's that aggressively looking for threats. It's aggressively protecting the love, the peace, the shalom, the relationship, the connections, the all the good things that you can go down the
airwaves
list.
The airwaves,
you know. It's are you aggressively protecting that?
I love that.
And I think that's what hit me at the end of this.
I love
is
that.
That's what being jealous for.
That's beautiful. Being jealous for.
Yeah.
As opposed to jealous of.
Yeah.
I love that. No, I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about going to the gym, you bounce your eyes, you're protecting.
Yeah.
You're protecting. You're aggressively protecting. We go out and about, even conversations. One of my best friends is on your security team.
Yeah.
And she texts you.
Yeah.
Individually.
Yeah.
And you constantly tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, number one, just not just like sometimes there's a frustration because you want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it's mostly, and not with her, but with the situation of what she's bringing it's to just, you. Yeah. But the fact is that you're constantly saying, just letting you know that this is right. And then we've got one of our listeners who used to be one of my coworkers, right? The other teacher. I'll say, hey, and he's one of our, this is what's going on with him. He's asking us to pray and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And we're constantly saying, look,
yep.
I'm not doing anything behind your back. Yep. I'm keeping everything very much open, out in the open.
Yeah.
If this, even in the inklingest of small, makes you uncomfortable, we will cut this off and we'll do whatever we need to do. But, and then you work with women at your work.
Yes.
Like, and it's, and I'm surrounded by everybody at mine, wherever I go.
Yeah.
And it's like constantly being in that space. You know, do you look married? When somebody asks me, you know, are you married? My whole freaking face lights up like a 20,000 watt light bulb, right? Like everybody knows. It's, what does your countenance even do?
Yeah.
What is it? Because those are detours. That will detour any icky most of the time, because rings don't cut it.
No.
People don't care.
No, they don't.
The enemy does not care about your marriage.
No.
Actually, he does care about your marriage. That's why he wants to destroy it. So it's like he's going to do anything and everything he can to come in. And the gossip with the girls or the gossip with the guys, it's the tearing down. And, oh, well, my wife does do that. Putting in those little doubts, putting in those, nope.
Yeah.
Nope, 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 nope. Cut it off. Yeah. Look like a little ninja and just throw those hands around and be like, nope, it does not come near me. This stops here.
Aggressively protecting your marriage.
Aggressively protecting your marriage.
Yeah.
I loved this one, babe.
This was fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
So we pray protection over your marriages. We pray that you guys see the red flags. Because guys, listen, 13 years in, they still happen to us.
Yeah.
On not a daily, but probably more constant than what we even imagine. Like even when you're scrolling, how simple, how easy the enemy can go.
Yep.
I got you.
Yep.
You looked at that picture just a little too long. You whatever fantasized about that a little too long.
Yep.
Right? Just the stuff. So we've got to be, we got to be zealous.
Yes.
We got to be zealous and jealous.
And alert.
And alert for our marriage.
Yes.
I love this.
This was good.
So good.
Yes.
Have the best week, guys.
Enjoy the journey.